Hi, this is Jeff with the SBCA podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or would like more information about the podcast, please contact us at sbcapod@gmail.com. That's sbcapod@gmail.com. Let's get to the show. SBCA podcast. I am your host, Jeff, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. This podcast is for you. Camp directors, camp managers, camp volunteers, whoever you are, this podcast is designed to give you the information to make you successful to help your camp grow to its fullest potential. Content, connections, and camps. That's what we're doing here, and we hope you enjoy. Let's get on with the show. Hi, and welcome back to the SBCA podcast. I am Jeff Yant, and I am here with my new friend, Jeff Dalrymple. Jeff is the executive director for the Evangelical Council of Abuse Prevention, which is committed to helping ministries get this important issue right. As a matter of biblical stewardship and the Great Commission importance, Jeff is based up in Jacksonville, Florida, and he's an elder at Sunrise Community Church in Atlantic Beach, and he's an advocate for kids to hear the gospel and grow in discipleship free from abuse. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on, being a part of the podcast.
Jeff, thanks for having me. You've got a great name. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
I feel a kindred Jeffness here with us.
Jeffness. That's right. It's a new term, Jeffness.
We're going to use it enough to where people are going to start saying that. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about ECAP. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do, how you got started. Why is this so important?
Well, that's a great question. So 4 years ago, coming out of the Houston Chronicle abuse of faith, that was really a catalytic moment for us. And like it was for so many other ministries, where we were asking the question, how in the world did this happen? You know, I think a lot of evangelicals at the time were looking to the Boy Scouts and to USA Gymnastics in the Catholic Church, and maybe not really thinking that this was going to happen in a Protestant context. And then the Houston Chronicle came out with something like 700 reports of abuse in a Southern Baptist context, which I think is probably the majority of your listeners here today. And that moment really set us off on a journey to ask the question, how can we get this right? This is, yes, a part of risk management, but as you said, this is really a matter of biblical stewardship, meaning I believe one day we as Christian leaders will stand before King Jesus and give an account for what we've done and any harm that's come to the vulnerable that are in our care. And furthermore, it's a Great Commission issue. Well, why? Because when we heard stories of abuse, especially abuse taking place in ministry, it was heartbreaking to realize that many, if I could say most of those survivors, wanted nothing to do with the church. They've rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want anything to do with God. And so that Great Commission issue meant we've got to get this right to keep kids safe, because that's the right thing to do, but also because that hurts our witness before a watching world. And so ECAP was born out of that. We wanted to solve two problems that we discovered in this. You know, there's some great companies out there that are providing services and resources like training and background checks and those types of things. And that's really, really important. But how do we know that ministries are actually doing these things? And so kind of like our sister organization, ECFA, Evangelical Council for financial accountability, we wanted to come in and verify or validate that a ministry is actually keeping kids safe in their context. And so like ECFA, we're a standards and accreditation ministry that helps demonstrate trust for ministry leaders. Trust is really behind our seal, which the seal is not the end goal. The seal is symbolic of that safe environment where kids can be dropped off to go to camp and to participate in all the camp activities, knowing that the ministry has done what they need to do to keep the vulnerable safe in that context.
And that is so needed. And I know that there are some that would ask the question, you know, is this something that we need to be concerned about? I think you're hard pressed to look around society, especially after that report that comes out, to say, no, we don't need to worry about that. We do. We need to be focused on protecting those that are coming in to our ministries, whether we're running the program, whether other people are running the program. And so what you guys do, you set these standards for camps and conference centers and churches and ministries. You set these standards for them to abide by. Talk a little bit about what that looks like as far as a ministry is concerned. What are some things that they could expect?
Sure. Well, standards, think a set of principles, and these principles can apply to any ministry context that serves children and youth. So including summer camps, right, like Lake Yale and other camps that exist across the country. By the way, I just want to say what happens at summer camp is so important. As a young person, I remember going to camps growing up, and that was really a big part of my salvation story, where I heard the gospel, I was taught the Bible, I had that concentrated time. And so anyways, Jeff, I just wanted to say thank you to you and your listeners that lead camp ministries across the country. That is such an important ministry. And as a dad of four kids, I regularly want my kids to be a part of a camp experience because there's just something about God's work there. So I apologize for that side note, but
no, not at all. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's so, so important. So, you know, the principles that I'm describing, let me give you five categories to kind of as a framework to hang your thoughts upon. So number one, governance. We believe that child protection starts with good and godly governance. Number two, this would be the screening that your workers go through. By workers, I'm including both your staff and your volunteer, anyone that has access to children or youth. Number three would be the training that those workers go through before they have access to kids. And that should absolutely include being able to recognize abuse indicators in a young person, in a child, but also what to do if I do see something and need to report abuse. That would also include mandatory reporter laws, which vary from state to state. So you and I are here in the great state of Florida. Florida, for example, has pretty all-encompassing language that says any person that suspects abuse, which could be sexual abuse or neglect, must report. So it's just suspected. You don't have to figure out what happened there. And so knowing your mandatory reporter laws are really important. Number four would be operations. So this would be any sort of check-in and check-out procedures related to summer camp. If a church is sending their youth to summer camp or their kids to summer camp, making sure that in the transportation of those young people, that they have certain measures in place. And then five would be having a response plan and knowing what to do before an allegation or an incident of abuse is reported. And that includes the mandatory reporter laws that I just mentioned, but also who's going to report? Are we going to document? How do we care for any victims and the families involved? Potentially legal counsel and even insurance companies, because insurance companies are great resources in responding to allegations of abuse.
So this goes way beyond just having the two adult rule.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Or background checks, which background right. checks, you know, you still need to do background checks. But if you put all of your hope into background checks, you will be woefully disappointed.
Yeah. Background checks only catch the people who have been caught. So that's really right. All you get from those. And I think for a lot of places, and I know a lot of ministries and churches, the initial response sometimes is, well, we haven't had anything happen here, or, you know, we know our people, we know who's coming. That's not a valid response, right? Tell us why that can happen. Why can that be bad?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, statistically speaking, only 7% of only 7% of victims of abuse didn't know their offender. Let me say it a different way. 7% were strangers. That means 93% the victim knew their offender. My point there is just to say that just because you know everybody in your church or camp context doesn't mean that offenders aren't there. And I'm really hate to say that, but most likely, statistically speaking, an offender is already in your midst. And I, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I guess maybe I am trying to set off those kind of warning bells. But so you want to make sure that everybody, everyone that has access to kids goes through the same process.
Well, and you never hear when they put that on the news or something, the response is never, oh, no, I knew that guy was going to do something. It was always, I never knew. We never total suspected. Surprise. Yeah, it's always that's total right. surprise because it's always those that you suspect. So what you guys do and what you help us do as camps and ministries is you help us set up these guardrails, basically, so that we know exactly what we need to do, how we need to protect. And if in the instance something does happen, because anything can happen anytime, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to those allegations? And how do we handle those types of things?
That's exactly right. What we did to create these standards is, and this is fairly common in industry standards creation, we followed a similar roadmap. What we did is we brought all of the experts together. This included attorneys and insurance companies, investigators. We had a forensic nurse, but we also had practitioners. We had a camp represented, we had a church, and we also had a Christian school through ACSI that all came together to help us create those standards. Then we had four attorneys do a fairly rigorous legal review, and it was in the middle of COVID, which providentially was a great opportunity to work on this project together. And so those are the standards. And then working in partnership with ACSI, Association of Christian Schools International, we created an accreditation program, which is really just about validation. It's an independent audit that has our auditors coming into the ministry context, verifying through evidence that these measures are in place. You know, there's it's not bulletproof, right? We still need to be able to do the ministry that we're called to do. I guess to some degree, if you really wanted to keep kids safe, you could just shut it all down and leave them with their parents, theoretically, right? Right. But we still are called to do this gospel work, this Great Commission work. And so the standards allow ministry to still take place while keeping kids safe. And I'm really, really thrilled at the 20 plus people that all came together to make that project possible.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think when you think about it, there's some comfort in knowing we're doing everything that we can do to keep this
reasonably. Now,
yeah, reasonably yeah. to keep this. And we're making this the safest place we reasonably can make for anybody that comes here. And I think that there's some relief there because we know we've got those boundaries. Now, with that, I know that one of the initial objections, because I had this objection when I first started talking to you guys, is, man, this sounds really expensive. This sounds like it's going to cost us a bunch. I'm going to go ahead and answer one of those objections right off the top, and then you can kind of talk about that. But the number one answer for that is it's a lot cheaper than when something happens and it comes back and comes back that way. But overall, really, for what you guys are doing and how the process works and how involved you are with, I speak directly with us, just having talked with Jesse and dealt with you over some emails and things, and just the amount of involvement that you guys have and the heart and passions you have really is an extremely inexpensive process to be able to do. So there should be no reason that, people shouldn't latch right onto this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm going to give you dollar amounts, but I was talking with our general editor recently, and I don't have this resource to cite, which is my preferred means, but he discovered this this information that on average, a case of sexual abuse of a minor usually cost on average $186,000. So that means, right, less than and greater than, right? That's the average, $186,000. what it costs to actually prevent abuse from happening is far less than that. Now, there are costs for background checks. There are costs for training. You know, maybe you use Plan to Protect or Protect My Ministry or whatever provider you use out there, plus what you would pay for ECAP. We're really an association based. So you join for $300. We work really, really hard as a religious nonprofit organization to keep the cost down because it's really about the mission for us.
Right.
And then once you're accredited, you're going to pay anywhere between $500 and $3,500 annually for accreditation. That's totally based on the size of your ministry. Are you in multiple states? Do you have multiple campuses or camps? Those kind of factors determine that membership fee.
Yeah, that's incredibly reasonable. I don't want to say cheap because it's not. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of things going in the background, right. But it's extremely reasonable, especially right. When you consider all that you get either as a ministry or as an affiliate or all of those things. You're diving in, you're getting into a wealth of resources that are not just regularly available, because let's just be honest, as ministry leaders and things, that's not really, this kind of thing's not the top priority. We're not looking for this stuff all the time. We look for it when it comes up. And sadly, we are the best at sticking our heads in the sand and pretending like this stuff doesn't happen. So I think it's important for all of our listeners, for all of our camps, for all of the ministries that you're involved in, it's important for us to take a serious hard look at how can we protect the people and how can we protect our ministry from these instances coming up. We want to protect people. We want to be a place where if somebody's looking to do something like that, our place is not going to be welcoming to that. We are not a soft target when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And we want our accreditation seal to be, yes, peace of mind to the ministry leaders, to the board of directors, right, to your stakeholders, but also to parents when they're dropping their kids off to go to camp or to be at camp, but also the community that's looking to say, you know what, the world that maybe doesn't have the same, you know, hope that we do in the gospel of Jesus Christ that's taking place in a church or another ministry, we want to be a good example to them of transparency that, look, we take this seriously. We're doing these things to keep people safe. Church Law and Tax are friends of ours, and they say that the number one reason that a church, and I understand we're working with a lot of camps, but the number one reason that a church ends up in a court of law is the sexual abuse of a minor. So our greatest threat really as a ministry is both ignorance and busyness. Mm-hmm. Ignorance that this will never happen here, and busyness that I'm too busy to actually put these measures into place.
Oh yeah, that's really tough. And that's one of the things that I like about what you guys have done is you've made it so that there's not a whole lot of draw upon our time initially to kind of get these things going. And it's something that we, if we're serious about this, need to take some time and actually devote some of our time and resources to making sure that it happens. A lot of our camps are SBCA, and then they're 3CA, and they're also ACA accredited. Accreditations have things that they have to do, and they have to make sure that they're checking on these things and doing this. This is just one small little more thing that in that same process we could be doing that can affect so much more than whether or not a door is locked somewhere. You know, this is the life of somebody for the rest, you know, for the rest of eternity. They could, you know, they could be pushed away from the church because of some experience that they've had in this way. And we don't want to be a hindrance to them. We want it to be somewhere that, like you with your experience, that camp experience is one that sticks with them in a good, positive, memorable way that for generations to come, they're wanting to send their kids to that safe place that they know as camp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And we take this so seriously. You know, we've produced a resource that's specific for summer camps. And if you go to our website, it's right there on the homepage, and it's a summer camp resource. Whether you're a church and you're looking for a camp to be a part of, if you're a camp and you're wanting to make sure that we're thinking through these things, or you're a parent, depending on your orientation, right? This resource will be helpful and just goes through a series of questions and red flags to ask to see, are we doing what we need to do to make sure this camp experience is free from a threat of abuse?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a great resource. We read through it as a staff. We looked over it for us here, and we identified those things. This is an area we need to address. These are some things that there are some things in there that, depending on your center, may or may not apply to you. And you guys work with us on that. And that's so good. And so use these valuable resources, use these tools to protect yourselves, protect your ministry. If you had to leave our directors and the ministry leaders with one important thought, what would you leave with them today?
Only one, huh? Well, I would leave them with the question: is your camp experience, does it measure up? And I'm not selling anything. You can go to our website and you can download free diagnostic checklists to ask the question, is my ministry safe for kids? Take that test. It's like a quiz, right? It's a comprehensive quiz based on our standards, and use that initial assessment to determine, or to maybe even give you confidence. Maybe you give yourself a letter grade and you get yourself an A, and praise God, you know, hey, we've really taken this seriously. Our child protection program is fantastic. Or maybe you get yourself a letter C. And from that C, you can roadmap a path forward to maybe shore up some things. And maybe you're already doing some things, but you don't have the documentation that you need to actually do that. And so I would leave ministry leaders with that challenge. Of course, we'd love for them to join ECAP and to join this cause of creating safe environments for kids. But I'd say the number one thing I would do is, with summer just around the corner — we're recording this here in the middle of May, summer's just around the corner — but just challenge yourself and have you or someone on your team go and just learn and assess and use that information to take next steps and to move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And give it some serious thought. Don't push it to the side. Don't stick your head in the sand and say, this won't happen here, or this has never happened here in our 30 years or 100 years of being a whatever. It only takes one. It only takes one time. And if we haven't done the things that are reasonable and necessary for us to protect those children and protect those, it could be disastrous for your ministry, for definitely disastrous for those involved. And we don't want the enemy to have any kind of foothold at all in our ministry. So take that extra step. Jeff, where do they need to go? How do they contact you? Give us the rundown.
Sure. Well, our website is a great place to start, both to contact us, and it's loaded up with free resources, including this summer camp guide, which is right there on the homepage. And it's ecap.net, ecap.net, which stands for Evangelical Council for Abuse Prevention. Feel free to reach out to me as well. I've got this tough last name, Dalrymple, so I'm happy to share my email address and make myself available for anyone that would have questions, or you can contact us through the website and ask for me. Glad to set up a time to answer questions, to share more of the benefits of joining membership and being a part of the community that we're creating. But Jeff, it's been great to be with you. Thank you so much for having us on. And I just would invite folks to go to our website and to learn more about our ministry, learn more about our program, and to tap into those resources on our webpage.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for doing what you're doing for ministries, for camps, but ultimately for the kids and the people that need us as leaders to be the ones protecting them. So thank you so much for leading this charge for all of us.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Grateful for Lake Yale and for your time. God bless you.
God bless. Have a great day. And that was my interview with Jeff Dalrymple of ECAP.net. Make sure to go over to the ECAP.net and take that test for your camp. Make sure that you guys are doing everything possible to keep those in your charge safe during the summer. Again, this is Jeff with the SBCA Podcast. You can always reach us at sbcapod@gmail.com. Make sure to tell your camp friends about us. We want to make sure that we're getting this information out to other camps, and we've got some great content coming your way a little bit later on. But for now, we'll see you later.
This has been Jeff with the SBCA Podcast, praying all the best for you, your camps, and your staff as you seek to give Him glory in all that you do. See you next time. The SBCA Podcast is a production of the Southern Baptist Camping Association. Our theme song, First Day at Camp, written, produced, and performed by Caleb Gilbert.